Hello, this is Nicolene Ambrose with the Tri-County Journal for Wednesday, November 11th, Veterans Day. The first article, Sarah Bush Lincoln Holiday Festival gearing up for virtual affair this year. The holiday season is just around the corner and plans are well underway for the 22nd annual Sarah Bush Lincoln Holiday Festival, a virtual event this year. We are disappointed that people won't be able to experience the splendor of the holiday festival in person, but the health and wellness of our community is our top priority. We are looking forward to offering an exciting virtual event featuring a wide variety of beautifully decorated trees, wreaths, holiday decor, and specialty items, Kim Lockhart, event coordinator, said. We have strived to preserve the integrity of the holiday festival and are excited to have many of our favorite designers and wonderful community sponsors back this year. This year's holiday festival is currently underway with t-shirt and face mask sales on the auction website and continues with the addition of coupons for Fraser Fir Christmas trees and fresh greenery from Hager Tree Farm, as well as Memory Star ornaments. The online auction site features more than 100 items decorated by area residents, businesses, and Sarah Bush Lincoln employees. These items, including the always popular 4-foot trees and home decor items, are available for preview starting at 8 a.m. Monday, November 9th, with bidding available from 8 a.m. Thursday, November 12th, until 8 p.m. Monday, November 16th. The festival will host a live auction event in place of its annual gala, which features 12 elite items. These items will be available for bids starting at 8 a.m. on Saturday, November 14th, with final bids taken during the live auction event from 6 to 7 p.m. on Sunday, November 15th. Stokes auctioneer Jeff Kingsbury will ensure a fun time as people place their final bids from the comfort of their homes. To participate in the live auction, a $50 donation can be made on the auction website or by calling the SBL Health Foundation at 217-258-2511. Net proceeds from this year's holiday festival will support Sarah Bush Lincoln Children's Dental Program, which provides dental care at no cost to children that qualify. SBL Dental Services partners with area schools and health departments to provide dental services, preventative and restorative dental care, plus oral hygiene education across East Central Illinois. Memory Star ornaments offer participants an opportunity to honor a loved one and support Lincolnland Hospice of Sarah Bush Lincoln. Purchase a Memory Star for $30 or make a tribute gift to help Lincolnland Hospice extend its services to patients and families throughout its 20-county service area by contacting the SBL Health Foundation at 217-258-2511. Memory Stars can also be purchased at www.sarahbush.org/holidayfestival. The order deadline is November 16th. Memory Star ornaments will be mailed in early December. The foundation extends a special thank you to this year's sponsors, Consolidated Communications, media sponsor, Dale and Marilyn Hoots and SC3F Wealth Management Group, title sponsors, BSA Life Structures, Coles Moultrie Electric Cooperative, First Mid Meadowview Golf Course, Slumberland, and WCIA live auction sponsors, the Cromwell Group, Inc., and Vaughn and Ruth Janicki and Family, Memory Star title sponsors, Adams Memorials, Anderson Electric, Sally and Doug Bach, Jerry and Lana Esker, First Neighbor Bank, Lou and Mary Kay Henkin, William Hill, Hank and Jill Nilsson, and Tony and Debbie Sparks, festival sponsors. For more information about the festival, contact Kim Lockhart, event coordinator, at 217-258-2511 or visit www.sarahbush.org/holidayfestival. Text SBLHS to 56651 to register to bid on silent auction items or to make a donation to SBL Dental Services. Next article. Douglas County Health Department reaches out to communities and businesses by Doris Elmore. The Douglas County Health Department has been working diligently to keep residents apprised of the number of COVID-19 cases that have been cropping up in the county. They are concerned about the well-being of Douglas County residents. According to the DCHD Facebook page on Wednesday, November 4th, there were 43 new cases, making a total of 949 total known confirmed cases, 10 deaths, and 372 newly confirmed active cases over 14 days. As of November 4th, the DCHD is monitoring 577 active and close contact cases. Region 6 resurgence mitigations began Monday, November 2nd, due to 3 consecutive days greater than 8% test positivity rate over 7 days. The following COVID enforcement protocol letter was recently sent to business community members from the DCHD. The letter says, "First of all, we want to thank all of you for the efforts you have and are doing to help with the continued fight to curb the spread of COVID-19 within our borders. That being said, the statistics are showing that the battle is far from over. DCHD was notified on October 21st by the Illinois Department of Public Health that Douglas County, with a positivity test rate of 13.4%, has been moved to the orange warning level. Should we continue on this path with positivity and several other benchmarks, the next step would be for more stringent mitigation measures being imposed by the state. We also continue to receive, on a daily basis, numerous complaints from individuals regarding safety protocol and quarantining noncompliance by county businesses. Our policy to date has been to send a letter politely informing the business of the complaints and the recommended actions per state statutes. In several cases, we sent a second letter as continued complaints came in. We were hopeful that adopting a positive basis educational approach would help rectify the situations, as no one wants to see your businesses struggle. Several things have happened recently that mean, unfortunately, more punitive measures will need to be taken. There have been complaints regarding Douglas County businesses made directly to the Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, and the Governor's Office, and those entities are advocating for more vigilant efforts on our part to ensure adherence to the state guidelines enacted earlier this year. We were contacted last week by Illinois State Police, noting it now has an online executive order violation complaint function for public health agencies to utilize as a sort of final step with noncompliant businesses. Should this step be taken, the complaint form includes an accounting of what steps the local health agency and local law enforcement have taken to date. Because of the worsening spread of COVID locally, the continuing volume of complaint calls received, and the growing input from state officials, DCHD will be adopting the following protocols regarding businesses not following state safety protocols. First step. Aforementioned letter from DCHD noting public complaints and requesting compliance with state requirements. Second step, facility notice of noncompliance letter sent noting additional complaints were received and any more will warrant additional action, including notifying ISP violation complaint line. When that notice goes out, we will let county and city law enforcement know as well. Third step, notify ISP violation complaint line if continued complaints are received. They end their letter with this statement, "It is truly with a heavy heart that we are taking these steps, but circumstances have left us no choice. We wanted you to know the reason for these actions and ask that, if you are not already doing so, please consider putting into place the state-mandated safety protocols. We fervently hope that, by everyone working together for the good of the whole, we can avoid more punitive measures and come out of this a healthier and happier community. The DCHD is trying their best to keep residents healthy. Please do your part in complying to their requests. If you are just an individual and not a business, it is your responsibility to follow CDC guidelines to keep yourself safe as well as others. Next article. Illinois Region 6 moves to new resurgence mitigations amid COVID pandemic. By Kendra Hennis. At his press conference on Friday, Governor J.B. Pritzker declared that as of November 2nd, Region 6 of Illinois, including Champaign, Clark, Clay, Coles, Crawford, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Effingham, Fayette, Ford, Iroquois, Jasper, Lawrence, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Richland, Shelby, and Vermilion counties, moves to new resurgence mitigations following an 8% average positivity rate over 7 days throughout the region. It was stated in the July 15th Restore Illinois Resurgence Plan that new mitigations will be applied if the region's positivity rate averages greater than or equal to 8% for 3 consecutive days, or if a region experiences a sustained increase in the positivity rate, increases 7 out of 10 days, and sustained increase in hospital admissions for COVID-19-like illness, or reduction in hospital capacity and threatened surge capabilities, availability of ICU or medical surgical beds under 20%. If a region has exceeded IDPH criteria that trigger additional mitigations to combat a resurgence of COVID-19 and prevent uncontrollable spread, new measures are necessary to curtail further spread. New mitigation regulations in Region 6 include restaurants, no indoor dining or bar service. Outside dining tables should be 6 feet apart. All outdoor dining closes at 11 p.m. No standing or congregating indoors or outdoors while waiting for a table or exiting. Reservations required for each party. No seating of multiple parties at one table. For bars, no indoor service. All outside service closes at 11 p.m. No ordering, seating, or congregating at the bar. All bar patrons should be seated at tables outside. Tables should be 6 feet apart. No dancing or standing indoors. No standing or congregating indoors or outdoors while waiting for a table or exiting. Reservations required for each party. No seating of multiple parties at one table. Meetings, social events, and gatherings. No party buses. Limit to less than 25 guests or 25% of overall room capacity. Gaming and casinos close at 11 p.m., are limited to 25% capacity, and must follow mitigation requirements for bars and restaurants, if applicable. As of November 4th, the 7-day rolling average for test positivity in Douglas County was 14.2%. The Douglas County Health Department also announced an additional 43 cases of COVID-19 in Douglas County, bringing the total known confirmed cases to 949. The DCHD is currently monitoring 577 active and close contacts daily. The release notes that COVID-19 spreads differently, not like the flu. It is a novel virus, and the majority of the community spread is from people who don't look ill. The virus carries its highest viral load 2 days before symptoms. You cannot presume your friend, coworker, server, cashier, teammate, etc., is not infecting you simply because they don't have symptoms you can see. Carriers are most contagious 48 hours before symptoms, and that's only if they develop symptoms. Many spreading the virus don't know that they are carrying or spreading it. The best way to help stop the spread of COVID-19 is by washing your hands for 20 seconds with soap throughout each day, watching to keep 6 feet of physical distance between yourself and others, and by wearing a face covering or mask. According to the Restore Illinois plan, IDPH will continue to track the positivity rate in regions' additional mitigations over a 14-day monitoring period to determine if mitigations can be relaxed, if additional mitigations are required, or if current mitigation should remain in place. If the positivity rate averages less than or equal to 6.5% over a 3-day period, the region will return to Phase 4 mitigations under the Restore Illinois Plan. If the positivity rate averages between 6.5% and 8%, IDPH will continue to monitor the region to determine if additional mitigations are needed. If the positivity rate averages greater than or equal to 8% after 14 days, more stringent mitigations can be applied to further reduce spread of the virus, which could include reducing the capacity on organized group recreation, fitness, or other activities supported by local contact tracing data and temporary suspension of activities. Next, the obituaries. Martha Crane. Funeral arrangements were entrusted to Joins Funeral Home of Newman, Illinois. The funeral was at the Joins Funeral Home in Newman, Friday, October 30th at 10 a.m., with a visitation prior at 9 a.m. She was interned at GAR Cemetery in Homer, Illinois. Masks were required. Dinner followed at the American Legion in Newman. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Wesley Chapel Church or the American Legion Post 201, both in Newman. Mary Hirschberger. Mary Hirschberger, 94, of Arthur, passed away peacefully at 1:50 a.m. on Tuesday, October 20th, at her residence, surrounded by family and caregiver. Private funeral services were held on Saturday, November 7th, at the Arthur Mennonite Church. Reverend Glenn Rhodes officiated. Burial was in the Arthur Cemetery. A public viewing was held from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Friday, November 6th, at the Edwards Funeral Home in Arcola. All social distancing guidelines were observed and masks were worn. Larry A. Bowles. Larry Allen Bowles, 71, of Springfield, formerly of Tuscola, passed away at 3:40 a.m. Sunday, October 25th, at St. John's Hospital in Springfield. Funeral services were held at 2 p.m. Thursday, October 29th, at Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home in Tuscola. The Reverend Kenneth Rutter officiated. Visitation was 1 hour prior to the funeral at the funeral home. Burial followed in the Tuscola Township Cemetery. Face masks were requested along with social distancing due to the coronavirus pandemic. Earl O. Hamilton. Earl Olin Hamilton, 90, of Urbana, formerly of Atwood, passed away on Friday, October 30th at Carl Foundation Hospital Urbana of natural causes. Celebration of life services will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family would appreciate donations to Special Olympics, James Reeder American Legion Post, Atwood, or La Societe des 40 Hommes et 8 Chevaux 40, 40, an 8 Nursing Scholarship Fund. Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home, Atwood, is entrusted with the arrangements. Online condolences may be shared via hillegasschraderfh.com. Walter L. Hahn. Walter Wally L. Hahn, 83, of Terre Haute, formerly of Newman, died at 5:05 p.m. on October 28th at the Gibson Family Center for Hospice Care in Terre Haute, Illinois. A graveside service was held at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, November 4th at the Newman Cemetery in Newman. A visitation was held an hour prior at the Joins Funeral Home in Newman. Father Alloy officiated. Linda L. Abbott. Linda Lou Abbott, 73, of Sullivan, passed away at 7:22 a.m. Wednesday, October 14th at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur. Funeral services were held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, October 21st at McMullen Young Funeral Home in Sullivan. Visitation was held an hour prior to the services Wednesday at the funeral home. Burial will be at a later date in French Cemetery, Allenville. Memorials may be made in care of the family. Levi D. Mast. Levi D. Mast, 75 years, 9 months, 24 days, of Arcola, passed away at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, November 21st, at his residence. Funeral services were held at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, November 4th, at the Myron Hostetler residence in Arcola. Bishop Reuben Kaufman officiated. Burial was in the Baghdad Cemetery in rural Arcola. Visitation was held after 2 p.m. on Monday, November 2nd, at the Myron Hostetler residence. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Next article. Eastern Illinois University's 2020 Alumni Award winners announced. Eastern Illinois University's Alumni Association has announced the recipients of the Charleston, Illinois University's 2020 Alumni Awards. Typically, EIU's Alumni Awards recipients are officially acknowledged during homecoming week at EIU's annual Alumni Awards dinner and reception. While statewide COVID restrictions and university health and safety guidelines being enforced this fall led to the cancellation of this year's celebration event, EIU officials are eager to offer their praise of these recognized EIU alums. While we regret our inability to celebrate our 2020 Alumni Award recipients and these outstanding EIU alumni in person, we're absolutely elated to announce this year's winners to our EIU communities, said Steve Rich, Assistant Vice President for Advancement at EIU. These alumni represent the quality education, lifelong relationships, and personal success of every EIU graduate and are notable for their own individual personal and professional achievements. Several EIU alumni were named as award recipients for their significant personal and professional contributions. Those receiving the 2020 EIU Alumni Award include Craig Koch, Outstanding Young Alumnus. Craig Koch, Class of 08, is a planning director for the St. Louis-based Creative and Technology Agency, HLK. Lauren Urban, Outstanding Young Alumna. Lauren Urban, Class of 13, is the Chief Operating Officer at UTech & Associates, a full-service marketing and advertising agency based in Naperville with a second location in Scottsdale, Arizona. Eric Combs, Distinguished Educator. Eric Combs, Class of 05 and 18, a middle school band teacher at Richland County Middle School in Olney, was named the 2020 Illinois Teacher of the Year by the Illinois State Board of Education. Mike Finkel, Lewis V. Henkin Alumni Service Award. Mike Finkel, class of 62, passed away unexpectedly in February and is being honored posthumously. After a highly successful 47-year career as a financial advisor, he retired from Raymond James & Associates in 2014 after being cited as one of the nation's top financial advisors by three separate financial trade publications during his career. Randy Bailey, Distinguished Alumnus. Randy Bailey, Class of 78, is the founder and chairman of First Health Advisory, a healthcare advisory firm which has been recognized as a national leader in connected asset risk management services. Judy Ethel, Distinguished Alumna. Judy Ethel, Class of 82, founded J. Ethel Consulting and serves as an operating consultant for privately owned middle market companies. Steve Ferguson, Distinguished Alumnus. Steve Ferguson, Class of 90, has experienced tremendous professional and global leadership success during his 30-year career with Caterpillar. Cam Simpson, Distinguished Alumnus. Cam Simpson, Class of 06, is an award-winning international investigative journalist, author, and editor. Melissa Conyers Irvin, Distinguished Alumna. Melissa Conyers Irvin, Class of 97, is the current treasurer for the City of Chicago and a former state representative for the 10th District of Illinois. Next article. Horizon Health Expands Orthopedics Team welcomes Dr. Kempa Gowda. Harish Kempa Gowda, MD, has joined the orthopedics team at Horizon Health, adding spine surgery to the comprehensive list of services currently available. Together with Ronald Wheeler, MD, orthopedic surgeon, and Angela Hamilton, nurse practitioner, Horizon Health offers full-service orthopedics care for common and complex conditions. Dr. Kempa Gowda, who goes by Dr. Harish, treats a variety of orthopedic conditions, from carpal tunnel to fractures and sports-related injuries. He offers minimally invasive surgery and non-surgical solutions. He also performs total joint replacement for knees, hips, and shoulders. Dr. Harish treats stenosis, narrowing of the spinal canal, herniated bulging discs, arthritis, inflammation of the spine, scoliosis, curvature of the spine, fractures, deformities, and much more. His philosophy is to exhaust all non-surgical options before performing surgery, which can include injections and physical therapy. To make an appointment with Dr. Harish, call 217-466-4714. And the last article today, Lifespan Offering Medicare Enrollment Help. We are experiencing a time in history in which people and organizations have had to adjust and adapt to a rapidly changing environment. This includes our program. The ways in which we interact with people and deliver resources and services has been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, but we remain available. We know this is particularly important during the fall Medicare open enrollment period, which occurs from October 15th through December 7th each year. We have developed a system to provide safe, creative, and socially distanced ways to continue serving you during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thousands of area residents get their Medicare questions answered by certified Medicare counselors working with the telecare program. Your Lifespan Center's telecare program is committed to continuing to provide Medicare counseling services during the pandemic. Consumers can schedule telephone-based or virtual appointments by calling 217-639-5150. Certified Senior Health Insurance Program, SHIP, counselors provide objective, unbiased information, answer general Medicare questions, help people understand available insurance options, and help them learn whether they qualify for income-related benefits. Locally, the telecare program is managed by the Coles County Council on Aging, which has offices at your Lifespan Center serving Coles County. Again, the number is to make a Medicare counseling appointment, call 217-639-5150. This has been Nicolene Ambrose reading to you today. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Stay safe and stay well.